another character that I remember is Judge Ben Burney. You remember Judge Ben Burney out
in
Western?
Ben Burney was a great judge, and he had the district in northwest Kansas. Ben was an alcoholic and would confess that he was an alcoholic, but he hadn't touched anything for 30 years. But he said that if he took one drink, he'd be back in the same shape he was before. He had a crew cut. And one of his favorite things was to say, when lawyers tried to argue rulings on motions, there'll be no postmortems in my court. If you don't like the ruling, appeal. But I don't permit postmortems. Now, that another thing that Ben felt about, misdemeanor arrests must be conducted by the officer in whose presence the misdemeanor occurs. Well, aircraft, you don't have that. The guy that sees you speeding is in an airplane, and you're arrested by the guys on the ground, which is probably a violation of that common law principle. So whenever they'd run aircraft in his district, when the officers would come in to prosecute, he would say, Gestapo tactics again, and throw all the cases out of court. And I remember one time particularly where all of the brass of the Highway Patrol, including Bill Mumel, came to his court, and he lectures them that he won't permit that type of thing in his court. And I told Bill later, I says, you know, you look like a bunch of common criminals, because Ben Burney's just giving him hell. Ben had a burr haircut. And again, everybody had to appear on opening day of term, criminal cases and so forth. This was at Stockton, Kansas. Ben takes the bench, and all of a sudden he looks up, and he says, get the sheriff. Get the sheriff now. The sheriff comes in. Man back there, he said, on the third row, take him out and get a haircut. He says, won't tolerate anybody with hair like that in my court. Kid had hair down to his shoulders. So the sheriff takes him out, gets a burr cut, just like Ben had. Brings him back in. Ben says, that's better. Says, okay, what's this man charged with? Sheriff says, nothing that I know. Says Ben, he said, better get the county attorney. County attorney comes in. He says, what's this man charged with? County attorney said, nothing. Ben says, you? He says, what are you doing in my court? Kid says, well, I came home from college, and one of my political science assignments was to go to court and write a paper on court. Ben says, Sheriff, I'll reimburse. Sheriff said he paid for it himself. Ben said, son, someday you'll thank me for this. True story.
I also remember there was some criminal trial where Judge Burney had...
It was a rape case.
Yeah.
And it was a girl that was 15, I think. And the defendant elected to take the witness stand, and he's testifying to the effect that she was 15, that's old enough, and he had a right. And all of a sudden he couldn't talk anymore because there was a hand around his throat choking him. Ben looked over and saw that hand around the man's throat choking him and traced the hand up the arm and so forth and found that it was his left hand that was choking this man. And, of course, Ben declared a mistrial and disqualified himself. But he told me, he says, I wanted to kill that guy about as much as I've ever wanted to kill any human being in my life. But they don't make them that way anymore. There were a lot of characters when I started practicing law. Lauren Peters was a tremendous character. Very bright. Knew the law. And you really miss those guys. Took the bench in 1932, and you really missed them when they left the bench.
Did Doc Baker ever have any encounters with Judge Wolfschlegel at the bench itself?
You want to hear about that, huh?
Yes.
Beautiful April morning. The windows are open. Birds are singing outside. And Fastidious Freddy is on the bench. And Baker's arguing a motion against me. And he's got his elbow on the bench. And he's about a foot away from Wolfschlegel. And he looks at Wolfschlegel, at which point he belched one of the loudest belches I've ever heard in my life. Wolfschlegel threw himself backward. The chair turned over and he ended on the floor.
There have been some interesting fight cases in western Kansas. One where I think it was Nonnemaker versus Burgess.
That's
and,
it.
Yes, and then there was another one we'll talk about later, but why don't we share the Nonnemaker experience?
Nonnemaker Burgess. Nonnemaker got into a fight with Burgess. And in the fight, somehow, Nonnemaker's leg got badly injured. In the pretrial order, Judge Vance said that Nonnemaker alleged that Burgess bit, stomped, chewed, wrenched, twisted, etc., his leg, with the result that ultimately he lost the entire lower leg, which is true. Nonnemaker was always starting fights in Scott County. He would go into a restaurant, and the next thing you know, some patron would be getting the hell beat out of him. Probably the high point of the case was when I cross-examined Nonnemaker. He had eyes that looked just like a goat's eyes about a next-door neighbor who was 14 on the 4th of July, who was setting off firecrackers. Nonnemaker said, "I told him once to stop." Looking at the jury, I said, "Did he stop?" He did not stop. What happened then? He set off more firecrackers. I told him twice, looking at the jury, to stop. I said, "Did he stop?" No. What happened then? He set off another firecracker. What did you do then? He says, "I commenced to beat the living hell out of him," which he did. But
put him in a coma, I think.
They brought the foot and leg in a big bottle into the courtroom. It'd been preserved. Now, my argument to the jury was that it's amazing how bad things can occur and good come out of them. I said, "Have you noticed that since Mr. Nonnemaker lost his foot and leg, that the incident of fights in Scott County has gone way down? People can go into restaurants and peaceably eat, and they can do this, that, and the other, and that as a result, things have improved as far as peace and order in Scott County." And that was the defendant's verdict. Right after that, the lawyer Neuschwanger went on the bench in Garden City, became a judge.
I recall the jury didn't even make it to the jury room. They decided it in the hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about Billy Goat Gruff?
You're talking about basically little cases that are kind of funny. I defended people who owned a billy goat that the children had named Billy Goat Gruff. They had a hired man who would throw rocks and sticks at Billy Goat Gruff, and they hated each other. And the hired man, who became plaintiff in this case, said that he always kept an eye out for the goat because he was dangerous. And he says, as I got ready to fix the fence, he said, "I checked and I couldn't see him anywhere." He says, "The damn thing must have been hiding around the corner of the barn, because no sooner had he bent over to work on the fence than Billy Goat Gruff hit him and ruptured two discs, and we had the lawsuit." Well, the people that owned Billy Goat Gruff got rid of the goat, and he ended up as a circus or rodeo goat and became very mean and vicious. The plaintiff somehow located the goat and brought him into the courtroom. And, of course, he was a raging goat and smelled, my God, he smelled. But I had the children testify what a nice billy goat he was. And really, when they approached him in the courtroom, he mellowed. He remembered him. And we won that case, Billy Goat Gruff.
There was another case with the lawyer in McPherson and the propane engine that blew.
Was Evart Mills.
Yes.
Commonly known as Bulldog Mills. Red hair, bald on top, weighed about 320 pounds. Everett Mills did more crooked things than you can possibly imagine. But he hated me more than any person in the world because I was constantly being imported to try cases against him and would always win. We're trying this case at McPherson, his home county. And what had happened is my defendant had driven a propane truck in to a shop in Canton, Kansas, because the pump wasn't working well. Well, he didn't turn any valves off, and the mechanic gets under the truck, and he whacks the the pump a couple of times, and immediately 6 blocks of Canton disappear. It absolutely levels 6 square blocks of Canton, Kansas, when the thing blew up. Well, we're trying the case now. Everett Mills somehow finds the pump that had been through the explosion and fire. It was black, rusted, what a mess. His contention was that if the valves had been turned off, the explosion wouldn't have occurred. And I showed that the hoses had inside them automatic check valves. It really didn't make any difference. Well, Mills has this thing right in front of the jury box where one end is sticking into the jury box just above the railing, and the other end is about 6 inches off the floor. So he commences blowing into the one off the floor, lying flat on the floor. And he blows and blows, and all of a sudden, a huge cloud of soot and ashes blow out and completely envelop the jury. I immediately say, Your Honor, we will concede that hot air under extreme pressure will move through this pump, as Mr. Mills has so ably demonstrated. Of course, he's lying on the floor all this while. I said, but liquid propane still won't do it. And that was kind of an amusing incident. But I think what you're referring to is another case where he demanded the right to cross-examine relative to qualification my client before my client testified as an expert witness, which is fine with me. Mills constantly smoked a pipe, and he wore a sport coat. And he's cross-examining my man, my expert, and I see smoke coming out of his pocket. I stand up, and I said, Mr. Mills, I want to... Judge, he says, make him sit down. He says, he told me it would be okay to cross-examine, and he doesn't want to let me do it. I don't want any more interruptions. I sit down. Pretty soon, a lot of smoke is coming out, and the jury sees it. I stand up, and I said, Mr. Mills, I've got to... You don't got to tell me a damn thing, he says. Leave me alone. Let me... I sit down again. All of a sudden, that side of the coat is on fire. I said, Mr. Mills, Judge, he says, my tolerance, he says, has reached its limit. The judge says, Mr. Mills, what he's trying to tell you is you're on fire. And I take a pitcher of water and throw it on him to put out the fire. That made papers all over the world. Europe, England, all over the world. Then we had another case with Mills. This will be the last story about Mills. I'm trying a case at La Crosse, Kansas. I'm a plaintiff. Mills is right by the jury. He's got all of his insurance papers out, and the jury's reading them. It was late May, no air conditioning in the courtroom. It was about 95 degrees out and 105 in the courtroom. Deathly hot and humid. Mills says to his local counsel, he had his coat off, and he'd sweat his shirt through. He says, I've got to go down and get a drink of water. Everybody sees him leave the courtroom except the judge. Judge, no sooner does Mills leave, he says, gentlemen, he says, where's Mr. Mills? Where is Mr. Mills? I stood up and I said, if it please the court, Your Honor, sir, I said, Mr. Mills has gone downstairs to take on water. Of course, the courtroom erupts. And about the time the laughter starts to die down, Here comes Mills back in the courtroom tiptoeing, and when he sees everybody laughing, he starts to laugh too. And while we're on that subject, I'll have to tell you about a case I tried for State Farm 45 years ago at Pratt, Kansas. At that time, insurance companies seldom were sued directly, and it was a big event when they became defendants. A little old school teacher had just retired and bought the first new car in her history, paid $3,200 for it, had 500 miles on it, was parked in front of her house, and an uninsured drunk came along, rear-ended it, and State Farm, her insurance carrier, uninsured motors, found that it would cost $2,200 to repair it. She wanted a new car. They said, repair, new car, repair. And they had a guaranteed repair estimate of $2,200. So she goes to Bill Hampton, who was my uncle, and fancied himself a great trial lawyer at Pratt, very handsome. Bill says, honey, you go buy yourself a new car, and I'll make the dirty SOBs pay. So now we're trying this case, jury case again. I put on, well, Hampton puts on the local dealer, say you can never really repair them, but I did okay on cross, and the jury understood that the dealers were just trying to help out. Then I put on my ADA repairman. He testifies can be repaired. Now it's Hampton's turn to cross-examine. He walks over to the lady. He puts his hand on her shoulder, and he says to the repairman in the witness box, isn't it true that to attempt to repair this little lady's car, he said, you would take saws and grinders, and you would saw and you would grind. She starts crying. He says, furthermore, isn't it true, he says, that in attempting to repair her car, you would take cutting torches, and with these cutting torches, you would burn and you would cut. And he's almost shouting now, and she's really crying. And he says, furthermore, he says, you would take sledgehammers, and you would strike, and you would beat, and you would... I stood up. I couldn't help myself. I said, Mr. Hampton. He turned, looked at me. I said, first, I think you should know, Mr. Hampton, they put it to sleep. Judge falls off the bench. The jury falls out of the box. Hampton's look at me, and he starts laughing, and he lost his case.
For a while, there was quite a rivalry going between you and Michaud on medical malpractice cases, and it erupted into a physical confrontation.
Wichita is a hotbed of medical malpractice. And Michaud, about 8 years ago, was listed as the third wealthiest attorney in the United States for fees for that year. Michaud is a very thorough trial lawyer. He's not charismatic, but he'll stay up all night researching points, and you can get in trouble if you don't take account of that fact. But I've never lost a case to Michaud. I had just beaten him on the such-and-such county case at Hugoton, at Grant County, Ulysses. And we're taking depositions. We had about 15 doctors, a bunch of nurses, the head nun at the hospital, a number of lawyers. And Michaud, in cross-examining the doctor, keeps referring to Grant County. The poor doctor had no idea what Grant County had to do with Pratt County. And so when it became obvious the doctor was hopelessly confused, I said, Mr. Michaud, let me help. I don't need any damn help from you, he says. So he goes back into it again. I said, we're never going to get anywhere if you keep quiet. My patience is just about exhausted, he says. Michaud was big and round and fancied himself a great fighter, played football in college. And the third time, I said, this is stupid. We've got to stop. You've called me stupid. He says you won't get out of here alive. And he comes running around and starts jabbing me in the chest. I said, don't do that. Does it again. I said, that's an assault and battery, and don't do it again. He did it again. Whereupon I hit him. I hit him so hard that he rolled over backward and up against the wall. And he had his son-in-law with him. He was about 6'3". And son-in-law started to get up, and I grabbed a chair because I felt that I probably needed some help at that point. But I would say within an hour, most every lawyer in the state had heard about that. I mean, that went around awfully fast. My hand swelled up. But to tell you the truth, it felt pretty good.
For a while, Michaud was trying to say that he'd faced you down.
Yeah, I did. He fell on his face. You remember when I was trying the very famous case for Mito Mirza that was on NBC, CBS, and ABC for 3 months? Board of Healing Arts case. And we completely wiped out the opposition. But at any rate, we had a pediatrician from Lawrence, Kansas, who was about 70 years old. She called me up one day to the bench, and she says, is it true what I heard? I said, what did you hear? She says, that you hit him? That you hit him? And I said, yeah, I'm ashamed of it. Oh, don't be ashamed. She says, that's wonderful. Because they all hated him because he was constantly suing doctors.
Wasn't there a lawyer that called you a name and it almost got physical, but the judge thought it was okay?
That was 30 days after I started practice.
What happened?
Melvin Nuss. We're trying a divorce case. But that's back when words were important. The judge was Roy McMullen, looked just like George Washington. And Nuss looked at me and called me an SOB. Without thinking, I raised up, reached over, grabbed him by the coat, and sucked him right up out of his chair on top of the table. McMullen says, what's going on here? I said, Judge, he just called me an SOB. Oh, says the judge. Okay.
Wasn't there someone, was it Michaud that you likened the judge to someone that the judge hated?
That was Lauren Peters. First case I tried against Michaud. Lauren Peters was a partner of Senator Andrew Scheppel, U.S. Senator. Peters was a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. And if there was any human being on earth that he hated, it was Harry Truman. Peters only had one leg. And we're trying this case, and, you know, the devil gets into you. I look up at Peters, start staring at him. Pretty soon, Michaud's looking at him, staring at him. And he said, what is it? What is it? I said, look at him. I'm looking. I says, you notice something about it? Yeah, yeah, but what is it? I said, who do you think he looks like? Michaud looked. Harry Truman. I says, it's amazing how proud that old SO that is of his resemblance to Harry Truman. The next recess, Michaud goes padding up to the bench. Judge Peters, he says, I've just been sitting back here noticing the remarkable resemblance between you and Harry Truman. Pete shouts an epithet and swivels around. He's so damn mad he can't speak. A day later, we're in chambers, and we had local lawyers there. And Michaud says, I'm really beat. This was April. He says, this is the 37th case I've tried since the first of the year, and I'm really beat. Pete says, say that again. He says, this is the 37th case I've tried since the first of the year, and I'm really beat. Judge turns to all the other lawyers and says, I'm glad to hear it. He says, I thought it was his first.
Ooh. Dare we tell the story of the gas in the water supply?
What gas in the water supply?
The woman who experienced an explosion.
What was her name?
I think for completeness, we really should.
What was her name? Is it Hayes? An Irish name.
She'd probably prefer that we didn't use her name.
Well, I'll think of it here in a minute. She was about 5 foot by 5 foot. And we represented a large service station. All the people on the east side of Hayes pump water out of the aquifer. And we had a tank, a 100,000-gallon tank that ruptured and put 100,000 gallon of gasoline in the underground water. Gasoline, of course, rises to the top. She was the first to learn that she had gasoline. And so she sues for a lot of damages. Ben Cruz was the judge. God, what is her name? I'll think of it here in a minute. But at any rate, she's testifying. And her attorney says, now, I want you to tell the court and jury what happened. No, she says. No. Judge says, you're going to have to tell what happened if your case proceeds. I'm not going to do it. Judge says, you must. And she says, if I tell, you'll all laugh. And I'm here to tell you, she says, it wasn't very damn funny. And if you'd been there, you wouldn't have thought it was very funny. Judge says, tell the jury what happened. She says, when I get up in the morning, she says, I like to take a constitutional, if you know what I mean. And she says, when I'm taking the constitutional, I like to smoke a cigarette. And she says, that day, she says, I was on the stool, and I lit my cigarette and threw the match into the stool. And she says, the whole damn place blew up. It blew the side out of the bathroom. It blew the stool and she out 15 feet into the yard and demolished most of the house. Everybody laughs. Jury, the judge, everybody is laughing. And she's mad as hell. She says, see, I told you. She says, you'd laugh. And by God, it wasn't anything to laugh about. I've still got the picture of that happening to her. What is her name? Yeah, it's immaterial.
So were there a lot of character lawyers, a lot of character judges back then?
Yep. We don't have them now.
Why is that?
Law has become very straight-laced. I always felt that whenever you could legitimately inject humor into a lawsuit, that it relaxed the jury, and a relaxed jury that's laughing with you is not going to be prone to do any damage to you. But you really can't do that today.
I know you're a Republican, but the Republicans lately have put a lot of heat on the jury system, saying that you can't trust juries. How do you feel about that?
Juries level out. Judges, you get a conservative here, a liberal there, and justices up and down and sideways. Juries are homogeneous throughout the United States, with the exception of inner city juries. And by and large, a jury in Wyoming or Missouri or Kansas, Oklahoma, wherever, will decide a case much the same manner as anyone else does, any other jury. And they try to do their best. Follow the court's instructions. They really try to bring in verdicts that do justice. And I far trust a jury to a judge. And I will say this, when I say I'll waive a jury and try it to a judge, the other side's fools if they agree to try it to that judge, because I've got a damn good idea what that judge is going to do.
This concludes a conversation between Deb and Lee about Lee's life as a trial attorney. This conversation was recorded in July of 1998.